The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 10th day of May, Tuesday, 2022. And tonight, as always, we do have a lot of information to take your way. And so tonight we have that mighty Andrew as our producer tonight.
Good evening, Pastor.
And way out yonder in Missouri, we have co-host Pastor Joe Larson.
God is my strength and power, and your highly unpaid professional assistant is ready to go to work.
And from California, we have our special guest tonight is Christopher Rodriguez, ready for Congress. Hey, Christopher.
How are you, Pastor Sanders? Thank you so much for having me on this evening.
Well, we're glad to have you here tonight. And we always start off with 30 minutes of a Bible study. And this is going to work good for you because this is the issues, the most important issue that we have is the pro-life issue. And a lot of people don't understand that. But when God gave us the 5 points of divine human government, I mean real human government, point number three was the entire purpose. The entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. And you find that in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. And that was given during the Noahic covenant. And that hasn't changed. Because he tells you right in there that it won't change. And so, this is what we're talking about. The title of the message this week was Mothers of the Bible, the Good, the Glad, the Bad, and the Sad. And we've already went through, we discussed the good, which was the blessed woman of Shifra and Pua. These were two very, very precious, very wonderful ladies who believed and trusted God and placed God before everything else. And then you had, of course, Jochebed. Jochebed was one of the most famous mothers in all history. She was the mother of Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the history of the world. And Aaron, the very first Aaronic founder of the Aaronic priesthood. And then Miriam, her daughter, was a poet, and she was a songwriter too. And tonight we pick it up with the most blessed woman of all time, whose name is known amongst women, more popular, best-known woman in the entire world. And, of course, that is Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. And so, Joe, would you pick it up and read in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 28?
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women.
Okay, Christopher, But no, you're supposed to read. Joe was supposed to read all the way down through 33.
Oh, I thought you said okay.
Oh no, actually, yeah. Actually, through 38, Joe. You were supposed to read all the way through 38.
Okay, well, I thought you. All right, change it. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
All right, very good. Now, Christopher, anytime you want to have a comment to make, just jump right in and do that. And so here, okay, are you, here we're going to take a look at Gabriel. Now, Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and to Mary, but he also appeared to Daniel. Do you know how many years prior that he appeared to Daniel? 500 years. This was his first appearance in 500 years. And so here now, remember what they said about Jesus? What good thing could come from Nazareth? And that was Jesus, Joseph and Mary's hometown. Do you know why they said that there? Joe, when you were in the
city of Nazareth, Nazareth was the house of, that was Bethlehem. Nazareth was the city of David.
No, that was Bethlehem, city. Yeah, Nazareth. No, Nazareth. The people would say, "What good thing could come from Nazareth?" When the Lord Jesus. Now the reason for
all the things about Bethlehem.
Yeah. No. Remember when you were in the military, and there would be towns like Cologne or here, there in Mexico. There's a certain town, Juarez, all of these towns are very known. And the reason for that was, they were towns where the military would come through. There were ports in the military. I know one of the most wild towns I've ever seen was there, Cologne, Panama. It was going 24 hours a day, and it had a bad reputation because of all the military would come through there. And you know what the guys would do when they went on leave? They were looking for two things: fun and women. And so, here it had a kind of a bad reputation because a lot of the Roman soldiers went through there, and their morals weren't the best, right?
Right.
And so,
I don't think they had many.
No, I guess they did. And so here now we take a look at Mary. Mary was chosen of God for the highest honor that any woman could ever receive. She knew the greatest joy. Mary received the greatest joy with the birth of Jesus, but she also suffered the greatest suffering, the greatest pain with his crucifixion, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. She lost him a couple of times then with his resurrection. In a way, it had to be the saddest, joyous occasion in history.
Yeah, it was. Now, let me ask you about this. When he arose, that changed things, didn't it?
Totally.
Would she...
This child that you nourished and you fed and you clothed and you cared for, all of a sudden you see him actually turning into, God and going to heaven. I mean, it must have been joy, but also a heartache because you would never again see your son in that sense at all. But you would have a personal relationship with God yourself. So it must have been a very confusing, difficult transition for Mary.
All right. I want to jump over here for a minute here and to John chapter 8. Now, in John chapter 8, in verse 41, Jesus is telling the Pharisees, "You do the deeds of your father." Of course, he was referring to the devil.
Right.
"Then they said to him, 'We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God.'" So they were, what do you think the implication was there, what they were saying?
Oh, they were trying to say they were, you know, the children of God of the covenant, and they were all children of God because they were Jews and part of the covenant.
Well, there's a little...
Yeah, I also think, you know, the rumor mill continued on, and, you know, Mary and Joseph weren't married, and she got married, and she got immaculately conceived with God, and my thought is the rumor mill continued on, and they looked down upon Jesus as being born into fornication outside of wedlock.
You're absolutely right. That was what they were referring to when they said, "We not be born of fornication." Okay, in other words, and so here, now think about this as a young woman. Think about being Mary. First of all, you have Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, appearing to you. Now that had to be one heck of a sight, right? And so Gabriel tells you that you have been chosen amongst all the women that's ever been born. You're the one that has been chosen to usher in the Messiah, to give birth to the Messiah. Now, that was the dream of every Hebrew woman, that they could be that one, okay? And so here now, can you imagine what was going through Mary's mind? Why me, right? I mean, and so that was a lot on her. Now, the next thing is she's got to tell her husband that she's pregnant. Now, my guess is, and this is just a guess. It doesn't say this in the Bible, but, you know, women seem to be the first ones to always know if another woman's pregnant. They spot that right away. So my guess is probably before she told anyone that probably her mother or Joseph's mother or sister, whatever, realized she was pregnant. And so now just picture this. You guys, your wife comes to you, and she's pregnant, and you haven't been with her at all. And so she said, "But don't worry about this, because it's not of man. I'm pregnant by God." You might have a tendency not to believe her, wouldn't you?
No, I would be a little
bitch. I would really struggle with that. I would have to probably go for a long walk.
Yeah, you could say, well, you know, boy, we've heard a lot of stories from these women that have been caught, but that's got to be the biggest of all whopper. Yep, God wouldn't got you pregnant. Well, and for a lot of reasons, they would say that couldn't possibly be. But then, so now he's got a burden here, because even though they weren't married, if you're betrothed, you still had to actually get a paper of divorcement, because it was like you were being married. And so here, now Joseph had to do one or two things. So he decided he was going to go ahead and divorce her privately, not make it public, not humiliate her. And actually, in those days, he could have had her stoned. It was a common thing for getting pregnant out of wedlock. Okay, so remember how the mob of Jews was chasing the woman taken in sin, adultery, and she ran to Jesus. And so they were going to stone her. Remember what Jesus said? He that is without sin cast the first stone.
The first stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of made them drop their stones, didn't it?
Yep.
And so here now, we see all this happening. Now, you know, the old saying, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, forget E.F. Hutton. When God speaks, you better listen.
Amen.
And so here now, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in the dream. Now, when the angel of the Lord has spoken, it's usually always a Christophany. And it was done in a manner. Do you think God's got the ability to make you believe whatever he wants you to believe?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so he's got that ability.
But these people in the Old Testament, the ones that God talked to, they had no confusion. They knew who they were, you know, what was happening and what they had to do.
So if God tells you something, like with Jonah, if God tells you to get ready and go over here, are you going to listen to that? See, Jonah decided he wasn't going to go God's way. He was going in another direction. How'd that work out for him?
Not well.
No. So when God tells you, look, here's what I want you to do, you might as well just do it, because he's going to get you right where he wants you, right when he wants you, and you can do it your way, which could be very painful, or his way. And so here now, he tells Joseph, don't worry about Joseph. That baby is conceived of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so here now, as we go through there, Mary, I can just imagine this woman. Boy, you would have to think, wow. And then he tells her that her cousin Elizabeth, who was an elderly woman, very, very old, she had conceived and she was going to give birth too. And so, Mary, but here's what Mary did. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to the word. And the angel departed from her. Now, Zacharias didn't actually do it the same way, did he?
No. He did it the hard way.
He said, I want proof. You got to prove it to me. Is that more of a tendency? The Bible says that here, that women are attacked in the area of discernment, where men are attacked in the area of pride. And so here, men have a tendency, especially where it comes to buying something. I know in the days when I used to have a furniture store, they would come in, especially when they wanted to see how it was built. They would take the drawers out and they want to see how it's built. Or they would like to see a cutaway of a mattress. And in those days we had in the mattress business, we had something they called Sealy Suckers. And the reason they were called Sealy Suckers is because we would have mattresses made for us, which were exactly the same mattress as the Posturepedic, whatever. The difference is, we had our label on it. We advertised it, and not Sealy. And it's advertising costs a lot of money. And so, therefore, when you could come in, you could tell them, look, here's these two beds. They're the same thing, but this one here is about $100 cheaper a set, because we do our own advertising. And the men would want to look. They would want to compare them. But the women, the women wanted to see that label. As long as they saw that label on there, okay. And that's what they wanted. So that was just it. So here now, here Mary just goes ahead, and that's good in one reason, and it's bad in the other. Women are quicker to get caught up in stuff, like with Joe Osteen. And in fact, if you look at about 80% of the people that go to his so-called church services, they're women, okay? But on the other hand, they're also the very first ones to believe in the Lord Jesus. Remember when Jesus' own brothers doubted him, when when all four of his brothers doubted him. Remember, he says, well, when you go on in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, go in there and do something. Show them that who you are, okay? And so he had to raise himself from the dead before they believed upon him. But the women believed upon him quicker. So the positive is they're quicker to believe on the Lord. The negative is they're quicker to be caught into any kind of a cult, too. And you see that happening all the time. And so here now, we've covered so far, again, we covered Shifra and Pua, two wonderful ladies who risked their life to save babies. We covered Jochebed, who was a famous mother of famous people. And tonight we just covered the most blessed woman in the entire world. She was blessed amongst all women in the entire world. Now, let me ask you this, because how do you think God chose her? He tells you throughout the Bible how he chooses people and how he judges people. How do you think he did that?
He looked at her heart.
He looked upon her heart, right. And can anybody do that besides God?
No. We can't even see our own hearts half the time.
You know, I think it was that Leslie Stahl I watched on the fake news media when she was saying, our job is to tell you what to think. That's our job and why you think that. And that's the far left. They mean that. They mean this stuff. Okay, these people are, well, they're reprobate. But anyhow, so here now, when you take a look at this, let me ask you this here. What do you think the name Jesus means? Because Jesus is a Greek word for, what's the Hebrew word for Jesus?
Is it
Yahushua?
Yahushua.
Yep.
It does two things. Jehovah saves, or Jesus is Savior. You can look at it either way.
Well, the Hebrew word for Jesus is Joshua, but they pronounce it Yahushua. Yeah. And it's and both in Greek and Hebrew both mean Savior, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Redeemer. And so,
but
we're going to.
Does it also mean Jehovah saves?
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Jehovah.
Jehovah saves. He's the Savior. Yeah, got it.
Yep. Okay. So, all righty, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of
rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ brought in jails for their beliefs, you know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. And now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. Gentle lambs of Jesus Christ brought in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
And boy, you can tell heaven's under siege by looking at our government. Oh boy, can you. Anyhow, folks, we always give, every now and then there's a small local business that gives exceptional service, and we like to give them a heads up. And, you know, here, big corporate America, so much of it has gone woke on us, just totally betrayed God and country and us. And that's why I won't shop at Amazon, because Amazon, as you know, we talked about that last night. They're willing to pay $4,000 to any of their female employees to go kill their babies. The same thing with the jeans manufacturer. What is it? What are those jeans? I believe they're called Levi's. Levi's Strauss. Yeah, and others. So anyhow, but now and then you find a mom and pop local business, especially, and that's who we try to help out. And I want to just say that Russell Sunoco in Russell Township, right at the, for you folks in Ohio, corners of Route 306 and 87, 306 and 87. It's the Russell Sunoco. It's owned by Steve and Kristen Gatchens, yeah. Anyhow, I just want to let you know that would be a good place to go. It's Christian-owned and operated, and it's family-owned, and we're all for keeping the family, because the opposition is definitely not. Now, we have here with us Christopher Gonzalez. He is running for Congress. Christopher, tell us your district.
Yes, Pastor Sanders. So it's Christopher Rodriguez, and I'm running in California's 49th district, which is Reagan Country, San Diego County, and parts of Orange County, and Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton is right in the heart of the district. It is a purple district, so there's almost a break even of Democrats and Republican registered voters. It is along the coast, and I'm excited to run. I'm a Marine Corps combat veteran. I did two tours in Iraq, and I'm a local city council member in the district. Married, proud father of seven.
And, wow.
We manage a farm in the area, and I'm just very thankful to step up and serve my country again.
Absolutely. You know, before you got to Genesis 9 that we mentioned, the Lord said three times to be fruitful and fill the earth, populate. And it looks like you're being obedient to that.
I'm daily faithful in this marriage to be fruitful and multiply.
Amen. And that's the first look topic we're going to talk about is abortion. This week, little Chuckie Schumer announces the Senate's going to vote on how to codify child killing. And here, what they want to do is they want to make a child killing, they call abortion, they want to make it up to birth, but make it a federal law that you can, and they want to override the states. They want to, and first of all, there's people saying, well, And I keep hearing these politicians saying that that should be up to the states. No, God says he's ruled on that. God says, you fools out there, Chucky Schumer, you fool, God has ruled on that. And here's what he says about people that kill little children. He said, you're reprobate. And not only that, okay, but he makes it very, very clear that he has brought the harshest punishment amongst on any people for killing their children. And so, boy, I'm going to tell you, your judgment is going to be very severe. Chucky Schumer, unless you repent, is a special hot place in hell. Now Chucky Schumer of the Democratic Communist Party is encouraging people to go out and to intimidate the Supreme Court and going to churches and intimidate them. And now, Christopher, there's a law. But why is it that the laws only apply in this country to conservatives? They don't apply because there's a law against doing exactly that. But we don't have a Justice Department. We do not have a Justice Department. The guy that we have in that Justice Department, Merrick Garland, is a dirty cop. He's a real dirty cop. So what do you think?
Well, I think, from my perspective, I think Congress has failed to define when human life begins. I think our forefathers, when authoring our Constitution, which you eloquently alluded to, God gives us inalienable rights that he created for us. And the institutions of government, our purpose is to protect those God-given inalienable rights, and that's the foundation of our country. And I don't think our forefathers ever comprehended mankind not thinking that human life begins in the womb. However, they obviously do, and it's going as far as in California, where they have a Senate bill they're trying to pass right now that allows for the killing of an infant up to 7 days after birth in a medical facility, or 28 days after birth at home, and the mom and any medical professionals that participate will not be held liable for criminal charges. So you have Planned Parenthood, who's pushing this policy, and they're going beyond the womb now. Now they're actually going into infant side, and that's what this is all about. This is murder. This is killing of innocents, and I think Congress has failed to define when human life begins, and I think that needs to be a top priority. That's a personal top priority for me. By defining when human life begins, which is in the womb, it literally cuts the head off the snake. You won't have the Supreme Court. You won't have federal courts ruling on creating legislation anymore. Life is tied to being in the womb and therefore must be protected by our Constitution.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. God has already ruled on that. And this is why in the Bill of Rights it said the very first thing that we are guaranteed is life. It says that right in the Bill of Rights, life. Now, here, when these people, and you've had, liberals lie, that's what they do, Democrats lie. It's not with them an elective. To them, lying is required. It really is. They really have a hard time telling the truth about anything. And so when they say, well, the child in the womb is not alive, because I know I've debated these wicked, evil people. And I always ask them, well, if it's not alive, then why do you want to kill it? And, they don't know how, they can't answer that. And so it's a child. And again, remember, the first mention, the first statute that we got of the death penalty was to avoid child killing. That was the very first statute. And you find that. Mm-hmm. Let me go through the 5 points real quickly, because a lot of people don't know this. And 2 years ago, I went to Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberty University, and I spoke to 250 county sheriffs. And they wanted me to tell them, what does God's Word, the Bible, say? What is the law according to God's Word, the Bible? And that's what I went down there. I used to teach that biblical law. So here, the 5 points, and I want to say this over because enough people hear me say it over enough, maybe they'll pick up on it. If you go through God's Word, the Bible, He gave you in the Noahic Covenant the complete rundown on the divine institution of human government. What we're talking about, real, divine, legitimate. Our government is not legitimate. Our government that we have right here now today, Chris, God's word calls it a bastard government, illegitimate. God's word calls it illegitimate. Everything that God has said, thou shalt not, they say we can do it. It's starting with child killing. God's word, the Bible, made that very, very clear that to killing a child is murder. And He said to be fruitful and prosper and fill the land. Everything in our wicked, evil government tells you no, you know, eliminate. You have a whole depopulation program going now. So the very first point that He gave, Chris, was to whom it was given. Now, he tells you that in verses 10 through 15, to all mankind for perpetual generations, okay? It's the only one of those covenants that God had made that covers all seven dispensation periods. And then He tells you this. The second point was the intent of divine human government. We're talking about real, legitimate. Man was to govern for God. And the third point, this is what we just spoke of earlier, the entire purpose of divine human government is to preserve the image of God that be in man. And then the fourth point were the ways by which man was to govern for God. He gives you a whole list there. And that's God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinances, God's commands, God's promises, God's testimonies, God's judgments, God's precepts, on and on. These are the things, the ways man was to use. And then the fifth point was simple, that any and all people that were in compliance with the first four would be at peace and not at war with God. Our country is desperate. It is in a battle with God, is it not?
It is. And speaking to that, at least here in this, you know, this part of the United States, I have not seen churches step up and get involved as I've seen them in the last, 24 months, even through COVID, where they're now stepping up and getting more politically involved. And there's a saying that goes, when the laws of the land are corrupt and the policies are corrupt and evil, it's because and they're failing, it's because the pulpits have failed us first. And I believe that the pulpits of America have sat on the back burner for far too long and have failed to influence culture here in America. And by the grace of God, I hope they're stepping back up and getting back in the fight to help shape culture and not let the world, do its thing, because this is what we end up with.
Some years ago here, back in the 1870s, there was a fellow named Charles Finney, and he started a college called Oberlin College. And he would roll in his grave if he saw what it turned into. It's turned into an abomination. But anyhow, here's what he said in 1873. He stated in the last paragraph of his sermon that he titled "The Decay of Conscience." And he said, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, and boy does it, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its internet or its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, and boy does he, the pulpit is responsible for it. And if our politics become so corrupt, the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. And do you know where he got that message? Right from God's Word, the Bible. He tells you exactly what he says.
Wow.
And so,
that's powerful.
So, yeah. So there's, he tells you judgment begins in the house of God and it begins in that pulpit. Now, we have what we call Black Robe Regiment. There's a number of us pastors who actually believe the Word of God. We actually believe the Word of God, and we've stood up against this. And with those pastors, when it came to telling you you had to shut down your church and wear the mask, we didn't. We obeyed God. We obeyed God, Amen. And we did not. And I know in our church, I had gone on the radio and said, there's no way we're going to shut. We're not going to do that, you know. And so the very first guy that came to our church that Sunday morning early, before, you know, when they had passed this, was the county constable. And when he come in, I said, hey, John, you're here awful early. He said, yep. He said, I know you weren't going to listen to them, so I just stopped by here to make sure nobody was giving you any trouble.
out here, they were different cities, you know, all the churches were being shut down. Cops were showing up, forcing people out. And in Oceanside, you know, we wouldn't stand for it. So I was encouraging pastors, you know, worst case, if you have, you know, members and fellow believers that don't want to meet inside, just meet in the parking lot. And, you know, our Oceanside Police Department just, you know, they didn't respond to any of the calls and complaints. And by the grace of God, Oceanside was kind of a beacon during that season where we, you know, we refused to shut down and hold those ridiculous mandates, you know, or enforce them, because it was total violation of our, you know, God-given and constitutional right, you know, to worship and meet.
You know, before we go any further, you really need to tell the folks out there listening to California how they can support you. You folks out there listening to K-Praise and other stations out there in California, here's a man who is the kind of person I would vote for. And so you folks out there, you need to get the information and go out. How would you how would the folks be able to sign up and help you for the primary?
Yes. Thank you so much. So website is RodriguezForCongress.us. My race is the nation's top pickup seat for Republicans in the nation. And my opponent, Mike Levin, is a far-left progressive Democrat. He won the seat in 2018, and we're going to get it back this cycle. I'm ahead in the polls. We're gonna do this, but we need as much help as possible to get through that. By the grace of God, we've raised just over $1.2 million in the last 9 months, and that's not special interest. That's not corporate money. That's over a little over 8,800 individual donors. With average donation of $80, you know, I'm funded by the people, and that really intimidates Nancy Pelosi. She's been out in the district 3 times since I've announced. I'm a Hispanic conservative, proud father of 7, Marine Corps combat veteran, Purple Heart recipient, just wanting to serve my country and get this community back on track from the one-party rule that's just causing destruction in my district and the rest of the United States.
All right. Well, very, very good there. Let me ask you this. Now, your opponent, was your opponent a Democrat running as a Republican on a Republican ballot?
No. He ran as a moderate Democrat, you know, kind of like a Chamber of Commerce type Democrat. After he got elected, it was an open race, open seat. He turned immediately to a far-left progressive Democrat. He co-sponsored the Green New Deal. He's voted 100%. With Pelosi and 94% with AOC. He is just, everything about him is 100% in line with the Biden agenda: open borders, defunding our police, abortion, you know, unrestricted abortions, you name it. And it's causing so much destruction on the ground. We have the highest electricity costs in the nation, on top of the high gas, high poverty rates. It is just, you know, it's crazy on the ground. Smash and grabs, I'm sure you guys see on the news, from liberal policies that just allow individuals to get released for little to no cash bail, including pedophiles. You know, they get booked and then they're immediately released. And it's it's causing such destruction, and they're trying to take these failed policies to D.C. and spread them to your neck of the woods, and that's why I'm running. I'm running. I'm a fighter, and we need patriots to step up and fight back against this craziness. So thank you so much again for having me on.
Okay, now, today, and Joe, if we were to meet somebody out in a restaurant or someplace and we're talking, and this person would identify himself as a staunch Democrat, if he told us that, what would we probably know or perceive of this individual? If you say you're a staunch Democrat...
I would know that that person is not my friend, my neighbor. That person is my staunch enemy. That person would have to be anti-Christ. He's against everything that I believe in, and that this is my opponent.
All right, so now, when Christopher mentioned pedophilia, the Democratic Communist Party is ripe with pedophilia. I mean, it's ripe. They got one in the White House. Remember, his own daughter wrote in her journal that Joe Biden would make her shower with him, get in when she was a teenager. This guy is a pedophile. I have pictures of him with his hands all over little children, and everybody knows it. But there are very, very few people. And the ones that should be bold enough to should come out and just shout it out are, like you said, Chris, are in the pulpits, but they're they're afraid. Now, let me ask you this too, really quickly, on these Supreme Court justices that and what they did before when they stole the election, they intimidated these courts all around the country where the courts were afraid to take the cases, and they were told that if you take that case, you're going to have burn, loot, and murder and Antifa on your doorstep, and so you better tuck your tail, bow down, and leave. And that's what they did. Most of these, and when they did that, when those courts did that, those courts, those judges became black-robed whores. They just sold themselves when they did that, and they sold out us. And so now let me ask you this. I believe there's only one person that I believe for real that I can would not bow down to this on the Supreme Court, and that's Clarence Thomas. I'm sure he would not bow down. Do you think there are others that are going to say, "Well, no, we're not going to tuck tail and run. We're going to stand our ground." What do you think?
I think they're going to stand their ground. I honestly do. You know, as much as the politics, the yelling, the screaming, and the protests in front of their homes, just the law that this stands on is so weak. And, you know, again, as you continue to reiterate, God has already ruled on this. Okay? God has already ruled on this, and that is so important that we say out loud and declare. But when it comes to the matters of the American government, there are some gray areas that our elected officials in the past up till now have failed to address, and they need to be addressed to come in back in alignment where they should be. And that's where the debate of the next, 12 to 24 months is going to be, is what should that look like from a legislative perspective? When does human life begin? And now the states are going to take initiative and go their directions, and you'll have the far left states like California do the extreme of evil and murder, and then you'll have states like, Mississippi and Florida and other conservative states that will realign more where we should be. But from a federal perspective, the opportunity we have to blanket our country is to define life being in the human, being declared in the womb. And I hope and pray that's the direction our country goes. And the midterms is going to be a huge part of that. And 2024 is going to be a huge part of that.
Well, I was one of those, along with Jan Porter, who was really the author of the Heartbeat Bill, that fought to get the Heartbeat Bill passed. But what we need to have a Life of Conception Bill. God already has. God's Word, the Bible, is there. It already has a life of conception passed down. But here's the thing. There is already a law, has been there for a while, that states you cannot go out to the homes of these government officials and intimidate them. There's a federal law. But now we have a so-called Justice Department that's dirty. Chris, I called the Justice Department when John McTurnan and I had our battle with the War College. And I called the Justice Department, and I asked them. Now, they have like 17, at that time, I believe it was like 1,700 attorneys there. And I asked them, are there any Christians? Are there any Christians at all? And they told me, well, we don't know. I don't know any. The guy I talked to, he said, let me ask around. So there were two or three of them went around. They were asking to see if they could find any Christians. And they come back and said, we couldn't find, there's no Christians here at all. What does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's heartbreaking, but God will rise up his men and women at the appointed time, and there's always the elect that we start to have hopeless doubts, but then God comes in and intervenes, and that's what I hope and pray for. And speaking of the comment about a starch Democrat, the unique opportunity I think we have, and that what I'm seeing on the ground, is you have a lot of Hispanics across our nation, in particular Mexican Americans, who have always voted Democrat. They're not staunch Democrats. They just always voted Democrat. That's just what they've done. Who are culturally conservative. They believe in God. They believe in family, hard work, life. And every day in the districts in California, I'm talking to another Hispanic that says, I am done with the Democrat Party. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I'm re-registering as a Republican. I think we have a huge opportunity just from a political standpoint with the Hispanics in our nation who are in droves coming over to the Republican side where they most align conservatively.
Well, here's what's been happening, though, in many places around the country, here in Ohio especially. The Democrats are running candidates as Republicans. They're running candidates, and they're telling them to go and register as a Republican and get a Republican ballot. Now, the reason for this is most people don't keep up. They really don't know that much about who they're voting for. And if they see a certain name or something maybe they've heard or signs out there, they'll pull the lever for that person. Now, for example, in a county where I'm at right now, you have virtually, it's not a very highly populated county, about 13,000 registered Republicans and 6,000 registered Democrats. The posters, the flyers went out to, and they ran candidates as Republicans that were really Democrats. And so they went out, and when the vote came in, it was 16,000 Republicans and only 3,500 Democrats voted. So that shows you that over 3,000 Democrats crossed over and voted for Democrats that ran as Republicans. So we're coming up to a hardcore break. And so when we come back from the break, we got a whole lot more to go. So folks, don't go away. There's a lot more to go. And we'll be talking to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.